The Old Testament reading is recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 30. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. For the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Philemon. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own free will. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. These words serve as our sermon text. Now great crowds accompanied Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. One hymn that most of us are familiar with is that hymn, Rock of Ages. Share a couple verses out of that hymn. It says, "Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die." As we consider our text this morning from Luke chapter 14, we address the theme, nothing but Jesus. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, our text deals with a number of issues. It speaks about our problem in life, and I think we all know what that problem is. You know, as I thought through this text, I again came to the conclusion that not one of us here likes to hear or be told of our sins. But you know, if we do not see the reality of them in our own individual lives, we will never come to repentance, and we will remain outside the kingdom of God. For it is easy for any one of us to be centered only upon ourselves, only concerned about our own life, not caring about the hurting people around us, some who might be hurting emotionally, spiritually, or physically, some who might be part of this congregation. Jesus says in verse 26, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Jesus is talking about allegiance here. He's not talking about literally hating those around us, because he also says that we are even to hate our own life. It was St. Augustine who said, "The beginning of all sin is the love of one's own self." And Luther would pick up on that later when he wrote, "Man can seek only his own interests and love himself above all things. This is the essence of his faults. Our flesh and blood and also our reason are not fit to serve God to the slightest extent. On the contrary, flesh and blood serve only themselves." None of us can escape the reality of sin or the condemnation of God's law. Prophet Isaiah said, "For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind, take us away. Nothing that you or I can do or offer to God can make us acceptable to him. St. Paul says, and may be found in him, in Jesus. Not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. It truly is nothing but Jesus. I've always liked the illustration that Jesus used in our text about the man who was going to build the tower. And you could switch it up, maybe going to build a new house. Where we lived in North Dakota, somebody was going to build a retreat center, and this very thing happened. But this poor man, before he started the project, didn't really sit down properly and count all the costs. So in the process, he runs out of money or resources, and he's unable to complete the project. And there was one such thing up in North Dakota, and it stuck out like a sore thumb. You could see it from miles. And oh yeah, they started that, but they never got it done. And then it says the people begin to ridicule them. It's almost like someone who wants to build a tower based upon his or her works, trying to get into heaven. Well, we know it can't and won't happen. I don't care how pious and righteous our lives may be, or we think them to be, our lives are foul with sin. We cannot build a tower consisting of our works, which we hope will get us into heaven. The Bible says clearly, "For by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin." Your sin, my sin. Nothing but Jesus declares to us what only God can and has done. As it says in Isaiah, I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. As we focus on nothing but Jesus, we receive God's solution for our sins. Jesus talks about carrying our own cross. Jesus had a helper to carry his cross, but when he's nailed upon that cross, he gives up his life, his holy and perfect life. He sheds his blood upon that cross so that our sins are forgiven, so that we, through faith, can begin to bear our own cross. For there upon the cross, Jesus carried all of our sins. He carried our foulness, our rottenness, our self-righteousness, and all of that goes with him to the cross. Bible says, no, all these things are from God, meaning it's a gift, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting their trespasses against them. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. God's solution is nothing but Jesus. We see salvation completed in his suffering, death, and resurrection. Nothing in our hands we bring, simply to his cross we cling. In the water and word of our baptism, God brought that forgiveness to each one of us, and Jesus is continually saying to us as repentant sinners, be of good cheer. Your sins be forgiven you. But unfortunately, we have an old sinful Adam that clings to us until the day that we die. We would try to bring to God the labors of our hands. But you know, it's not us. It's Jesus. Listen to what God's word says. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest anyone should boast, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What a gift God has given to you and me, and that gift is nothing but Jesus. Jesus touches briefly upon discipleship in this text. Faith, as you know, receives and confesses Christ Jesus. What we confess is lived out in relationship to our neighbor. Remember, it is our neighbor who needs our good works, not God. We are called to love one another and to forgive one another. We have been made new creations in Christ Jesus. And yet today, as we faithfully follow Christ Jesus and his word, we will meet with enmity and hatred from the world. None of us is above the word of God. Daily, our Lord calls each one of us to repentance. As St. John wrote, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We are pilgrims in a foreign land. Heaven is our home. Jesus gives us a foretaste of heaven here in the Lord's Supper. But each day, we do battle with the devil, who hates the gospel, who despises the pure word of God, and who hates Christ's church. And yet in that midst, we are called to be reaching out to others who do not yet confess Christ Jesus as their Savior. Some of those people live next door to us, and God wants them to have the new life that you and I already enjoy in Christ. God help us in that joyful opportunity. When we have nothing but Jesus, we have all that we need. In Jesus' name and completed work. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.